Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Monday, December 5th. What to know about the final efforts from both political parties to get one more seat in the Senate, and what authorities are calling an intentional and criminal act that caused a mass power outage in one state. Plus, an update on Team USA at the World Cup, what the so-called Twitter files did and did not reveal, and the official color of 2023. Those stories and more next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, the last battle of the 2022 midterms is happening this week. And with that, some of the biggest names in politics are making their final pitches to voters in Georgia. They're campaigning for either Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock or his Republican challenger, Herschel Walker. Remember, because of the rules in Georgia, neither of them got enough votes to claim victory in last month's election. So they're facing off in a runoff tomorrow. Just this past week, former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama have shown up to boost Warnock. On the other side, big-name Republican senators like Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and Rick Scott have campaigned for Walker, and so has Georgia's governor. Then, over the weekend, Warnock and Walker each held several rallies to hundreds of supporters across the street, and both campaigns set up at the SEC's championship game between Georgia and LSU on Saturday. And voters were bombarded with campaign ads, calls, texts, and even knocks on their doors. And those will continue today as the candidates hit up many more rallies. Stay tuned. A county in North Carolina is under a state of emergency, and everyone there will have to follow a curfew because of an unusual power outage. And by unusual, we mean criminal. Authorities in Moore County, about 30 miles from Fort Bragg, say almost every home and business lost power, all because shooters opened fire at two electric substations, causing millions of dollars worth of damage. It apparently knocked out traffic lights, causing car crashes. And since security alarms went down, police say they've been responding to more break-ins than usual, too. On top of all of that, thousands of people are now without heat in below-freezing temperatures. Now, restoring power could take days. So far, law enforcement officers say they're not sure who did it, but they're investigating along with the FBI. It's a pretty huge week for the global energy markets. For starters, the G7 wealthy nations, European Union, and Australia all agreed to a $60 a barrel price cap on Russian oil. That applies to all Russian oil shipped to other countries that don't already have an embargo, and that took effect today. The whole idea is to let Russia keep selling oil so there's not a huge shortage, but to make sure the Russian government doesn't make as much money off of it in the face of its war in Ukraine. Also today, the European Union launched an all-out ban of Russian oil, at least the oil that comes on ships and tankers. Hungary and a couple of other countries can keep getting Russian oil through pipelines, though. So what do these new developments actually mean for Russia? Well, analysts say a lot of that depends on China and India. They've both gone on a buying spree of Russian oil since the war in Ukraine started, since now that Europe is no longer as interested, they can get it at a discount. Also, Russia has threatened to retaliate by cutting off the oil supply to countries that abide by the price cap. So we'll see if Russia does sell oil under the cap or decides to cut production to know how that impacts the global markets. In the face of all of these unknowns, an organization of the world's biggest oil producers decided to stick with its plan of cutting back oil production by 2 million barrels a day until the end of this year, the same plan they agreed on back in October. To be continued. Iranian protesters may have actually inspired change in their country. Iran's attorney general says the so-called morality police have been disbanded, and the country is apparently thinking about changing the rule that says women must cover their heads in public. Anti-government protests have been raging for months there since a woman died in custody. She was arrested by the morality police for not wearing her head covering. Hundreds of people have since been killed in those protests. So if what the attorney general says is true, it could make a big difference. But so far, it's not clear if his comments actually reflect a high-level decision by Iran's rulers. There's been no official announcement from the government. For now, activists are still protesting. Speaking of protesters possibly making a difference, a few Chinese cities have loosened some COVID-19 restrictions in the face of unprecedented protests there. The Chinese government says things are changing just because COVID-19 is changing, that it's not quite as dangerous anymore. But Western leaders credit the protesters for helping push the government in that direction. By the end of this week, the World Cup will move on to the quarterfinals, but it will be without Team USA. The Americans lost to the Netherlands over the weekend 3-1, ending their time at the tournament. Team USA was the second youngest team in the tournament this year, with an average age of just 25. So many of these players are hoping to reach their peak when the next World Cup rolls around in 2026, the one that's actually happening here in the Americas. As for this World Cup, the knockout round continues with 2 games today and 2 games tomorrow. We'll know who wins the whole thing when the final match happens on December 18th. More news is coming up, but first, a quick break for our sponsor, KiwiCo. I love knowing that I'm buying someone I care about a unique, great gift for the holidays. And if you have kids in your life, KiwiCo is here to help you give more than just gifts. They're here to show you how to give awesome. From robots to rocket ships, all of their projects are designed to spark fun and excitement for kids of all ages. For my little one under 2, I love getting these high-quality toys that are made to help him learn new skills and enjoy the process all along the way. I also appreciate the guides that come with it to explain all the ways you can use the toys and why they're helpful. Then for older kids, KiwiCo offers these super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects, and the kids get so excited to see these delivered to their door. So whether you get it for your own kids or buy it as a gift, give awesome this holiday with KiwiCo. Get your first month free on any crate line at kiwico.com/newsworthy. That's your first month free at kiwico.com/newsworthy. The latest data on the jobs market was once again better than expected. The Labor Department found the U.S. added 263,000 jobs in November. The report also revealed the average hourly earnings rose by 0.5 percentage point, and the unemployment rate is holding steady at 3.7%. The strong jobs report is good news for the American worker, and President Biden is trying to take some credit. But it could also signal that the Federal Reserve's attempts to slow inflation are not working. The Feds want hiring and wage growth to cool down. When those things happen, it can help balance the economy and slow the rising price of pretty much everything. By the way, if this jobs report doesn't seem to align with the mass layoffs at big tech companies we've been telling you about, well, experts say a lot of those workers are finding new jobs quickly since a lot of companies are digital at this point. Twitter's new owner decided he wanted the world to know what was going on inside the social media company years ago when it made a controversial decision just ahead of the 2020 election. You may remember we told you about this in October of 2020. The New York Post ran a story about President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, specifically about leaked files from his laptop. But because the story could not be independently verified at that time, even though it has been since, Twitter decided to ban links to or images of that news article. Well, flash forward to this past Friday. A Substack journalist tweeted out screenshots of emails between Twitter's leadership, members of the Biden campaign, and outside policy leaders sent as the Twitter team was apparently deciding whether or not to censor that article. Musk sent out a few tweets himself promoting this journalist's tweet thread as a big event and referring to them as the Twitter files. He called it free speech suppression and said the public deserves to know what really happened. But others point out this really just showed something not all that surprising, that Twitter employees debated about how their policies should apply to that article and how they might respond to similar stories that come up. The company did later reverse course on its decision to suppress the story. But all the decisions do appear to be Twitter's alone. Even though the emails show members of the Biden campaign requested Twitter review many tweets and pull them down, the Substack journalist who tweeted the leaked emails wrote, quote, "There's no evidence that I've seen of any government involvement in the laptop story." There may be more leaks coming, so stay tuned. The popular password manager LastPass has been hacked for the second time this year. LastPass confirmed it detected unusual activity recently within a third-party cloud storage service it uses. LastPass says the hacker was able to gain access to some customers' information, but didn't specify exactly what information was taken, just that the actual passwords stored on LastPass are still safely encrypted. The company was also hit back in August, and the same group is reportedly behind both hacks. As LastPass investigates this latest security breach, it's encouraging users to create a strong master password and to use the multi-factor authentication to prove their identities. It seems Taylor Swift fans are not shaking off last month's Ticketmaster sales fiasco for the star's upcoming Eras Tour. A group of Swifties is suing the company for fraud, price fixing, and antitrust violations. The lawsuit alleges Ticketmaster allowed scalpers and bots into the presale event to profit off of resale fees. The suit is asking the court to fine Ticketmaster $2,500 per violation. Ticketmaster has apologized for the difficulties, but maintains it was extraordinarily high demand and an insufficient ticket inventory that caused issues for fans trying to buy tickets. 2023 now has an official color, thanks to the Pantone Color Institute. The upcoming color of the year is Viva Magenta. Pantone says it's a shade rooted in nature, descending from the red family, demonstrating a new signal of strength. Pantone has been naming a color of the year every year since 2000. It often influences the latest trends in fashion and design. That's it for the main news. So now it's time for Money Monday, when we talk about one interesting money-related news story. But first, a message from our sponsor, Rothy's. Okay, so we've talked about what to get the kids in your life for the holidays, but what about the adults? I always like to give products from a brand that I can feel good about. And with Rothy's, you're showing you care about comfort, durability, sustainability, and style. Rothy shoes are not only high quality, machine washable, and comfortable, all important things, and I know because I have three pairs of them, but they're also made with their signature thread, repurposed from single-use plastic bottles. And when it comes to style, I appreciate that Rothy's has the perfect combo of classic and trendy. So you know when you give Rothy's shoes, that person can wear them for many seasons to come, and you can feel good that whatever you buy, it's on trend. And don't worry, if you don't know someone's shoe size, Rothy's makes versatile bags and accessories as well. Get stylish shoes, versatile and durable enough to wear all the time with Rothy's. And you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's rothys.com/newsworthy. Now back to Money Monday. A new report found two cities tied for the most expensive places to live in the world, and they are New York City and Singapore. This is the first year New York City has topped the list from the Economist Intelligence Unit. Last year, it came in sixth place. Rounding out the top five this year are Tel Aviv, Hong Kong, and Los Angeles. The other U.S. city in the top 10 is San Francisco, coming in at number 8. The report looks at how much it costs people living in 172 of the world's major cities to afford rent, utility bills, household goods, groceries, and more. And overall, the report found the cost of living is surging by 8.1% over the past year. The reason? Well, experts say the war in Ukraine, climate change, and lingering effects of the pandemic are all contributing to price hikes. The head of the organization behind the report says those reasons, coupled with rising interest rates and exchange rate shifts, have caused a cost of living crisis around the world. All right, so what about the cheapest places to live in the world? Well, the top three are all in the Middle East or North Africa: Damascus, Syria; Tripoli, Libya; and Tehran, Iran. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. For now, have a great day.